listen to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome back to Rogue Startups. This is episode 149. This is the second part of our two-parter of questions to ask yourself to grow your business. Six questions that will drive your business forward is what we called part one. So this would be a fitting part two. So Dave, how you doing?
I am doing great. I am swamped.
Yeah?
I mean, it's just gone batshit crazy here this month for Recapture. I mean, I booked like 8 new customers this month and I'm like scrambling. They're all like asking for stuff. They're mm-hmm. like, hey, this thing doesn't work quite the way I think. And I look at the way that it works and I'm like, yeah, that's not quite right for Shopify. So I'm like having to have Mike take care of that, my developer. And there's other stuff that they, you know, I've got people beta testing winbacks now and they're like, I want to put this in there. And I'm like, that makes total sense. Yes, we should do that.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it doesn't take that long, but you know, everything is just like hitting all at once. Plus we're like, I'm promoting a bunch of content. I've had like 3 weeks of Black Friday tips and I've been kind of doing those sort of just in time. Mm-hmm. I tried to plan ahead a little bit, but I didn't totally fail on that. I actually had them pre-written pretty well, but I didn't finish the editing and the scheduling and all of that stuff until closer to the last minute. But I've been pushing that stuff out, and now I got requests to do like our link trading with other Shopify apps. You know, not this isn't just like some random dude saying, hey, I'm an SEO guy here, let me write crappy articles for you. Like, yeah. These are other Shopify apps saying, hey, you want to do co-marketing? You know, here's our link. You know, put our thing in your thing, and we'll put your thing in our thing, and maybe we can do something else. And I'm like, yeah.
That's great. That's
but
great.
It's like all of that plus the freelancing. Oh, Jesus, man.
Yep.
And then there's like all kinds of personal shit going on too. We've been like trying to get the house cleaned up and we've got guests coming early November and Thanksgiving. Plus, you know, my allergies have been killing me. So we had like the ducts clean and the carpets clean and the windows cleaned. And, you know, now our garage just broke and oh, Jesus, it never ends, man.
You're like Eeyore, man. The world is falling. The sky is tumbling down upon me. A lot of it sounds like good problems though, right? I mean, shit's happening with the business. That's great. I mean, if you have to scramble a little bit now, then all this stuff is built in for the next customer that comes in that wants that thing. So that's great.
Yeah. I mean, everything that people are asking for on Shopify, I'm like, yeah, if I don't fix it now, somebody else is going to be like, I don't want to sign up for your service because you're not as good as the other guys. And then, you know, this is good that we're getting that level of engagement, but yeah, that's just a lot of work.
I mean, it reminds me of kind of where we've been and they're just getting out of a little bit with sales camp is, you know, people would come in, you know, a few months ago, do you have this? No. Do you have that? No. Can you do this? No. And now it's like, yeah, we can do that. Yep. We can do that. Yep. We got an API. Yep. We integrate with Stripe. Yep. We're going to have automatic payouts. Now, we got all that shit. And now it's just a matter of getting people in and getting them onboarded, really, is kind of where we are. I think, like, and kind of parallel to what you're talking about, it's like you got all this shit. Now you just got to make it work with their sites because it's, you know, the similarity, I think, is that everybody uses Recapture a little different, you know, and everybody uses SalesCamp a little different. And it's just like Castos is, in a lot of ways, really simple because you upload an audio file and you submit a feed to iTunes and that's it. Like, there's not a million use cases for a podcast hosting platform. So I'm a little spoiled, I guess. But
Right. And that's a little surprising because you expect a certain use case or a certain workflow. And then when your customers come in and say, no, I'm just using this. And you're like, what? Why? Yeah. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Why aren't you using all of it? Why aren't you using the main thing of it? Like, I had somebody sign up and they're just using the email pop-ups and they're like paying a good amount for this. I'm like, why aren't you using abandoned carts? Like, and I haven't gotten an answer from them yet. So it could be they're just doing it from somebody else and they're happy with what's going on there or they don't need it, which I can't imagine that's the case or something else. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
You know, when customers aren't talking to you and you can't get them on the phone or whatever, you know, because they're all busy with their shit right now. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to get somebody's attention right now in e-commerce is, it pretty much requires an act of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just so focused on all of the stuff that they need to be focused on because it's do or die right now. So
yeah. 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 Nice, man. Well, that sounds like a lot of good shit. That's I always feel like just doing a bunch of shit is always really good. Like, it seems like chaos, but if after it all settles, it's always usually really good. Just throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall and seeing what happens.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like a more exciting time where I'm not like struggling with what the hell should I be doing? What's the right thing to do right now? Like, when customers are coming in and saying, I need this. This yeah. is missing. This is broken. Like, you know what your priorities are. It feels very clear. It feels yeah. very directed, you know. That's good. I like
that's
that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, so from my end, kind of updates on the Castos world are a bit around support. So we've had a support gal that's been working with us for the last few months. And some things are kind of changing personally. And so she's moving on to, you know, different kind of part of her life and different role. And so we are looking for a new kind of head of customer support. So we call them a customer success engineer at Castos. So if anybody is interested or knows somebody that might be interested, would love to chat with them. So it is kind of a heavy part-time role for now. But yeah, if anybody out there is interested or knows somebody that is interested, give us a shout. And kind of similarly on the support, our customer support communication line, we've been running Castos on Intercom for the past year or so, and we've been
right.
on their early stage startup plan. I actually really like Intercom. I like most things about Intercom. We've been on their early stage startup plan, which is like $50 a month for all of the goodies, and got an email from the Intercom folks a couple of weeks ago that says, your early stage startup program is ending. Your next bill will be $511.
What?
And
are you kidding?
Yeah. I mean, we are the absolute wrong business type for Intercom in the respect of, like, they bill based on number of contacts. So we're both a heavy, like a high volume business for our paying customers because, you know, it's $15 or $20 a month. And we also have all of our plugin users that come in, you know, chat with us and get support on Intercom. Yep. So we are moving off of Intercom very shortly. So this episode will go out Monday. I will be off of Intercom by the end of next week. So I'm evaluating a couple of different tools right now. My default is to go to Help Scout since we've been using a Podcast Motor forever, and it's great. And honestly, my only reservation about using Help Scout is I have to have two different accounts because I want to keep their billing separate. And I don't want to have to like log into one and log out of it and all that kind of crap all the time because you can't keep two windows open of Help Scout all the time.
I have the same damn problem. You could do it in two browsers, but thankfully one of mine, I just use it practically. It's non-existent for use. It's just a doc site. That's it. I'm doing
yeah.
docs fees for that. But the other one is the one that gets all the heavy usage, and we have two sub accounts under there for the plugin, so I flip back and forth internally between them. But yeah, man, I feel your pain. I can't believe $500 a month for Intercom. Man, you have some serious user usage on that.
Yep.
Because with Intercom, I'm paying like between 60 and 85 a month. It varies a little bit from month to month, but it's yep. pretty low. Like, but we just don't get like deluges of customers coming in and asking stuff. You know, it's one or two people a week, sometimes one or two a day, but you know, it's not that heavy.
We have 30 or 40 tickets a day.
Oh God. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So I mean, a lot of them are like, cancel my trial. Some are, you know, how do I modify my podcast page? Some are, you know, your shit doesn't work. And, you know, so I mean, we have a lot of free users and we have a lot of paying customers because it's just a, you know, high volume, low ARPU, you know, kind of business. So
yeah.
Anyway, so we're looking at Help Scout. I'm looking at Freshdesk and Freshchat, and they have all these fresh tools. It looks like a really solid program. I'm looking at it and trying to convince myself it'll work. Help Scout just related their chat thing in the Beacon.
Yep.
So I'm trying to figure out a way to make Help Scout work for me logistically. And I might end up using Station on my computer. Dave, we talked about Station a while ago. It's this thing where you can pull all of your Gmail tabs and Help Scout and Intercom tabs out of your browser and stick them in this app on your Mac.
Yep.
I probably will go with Help Scout and do that, and then just know that when I'm on just my phone, I'll just have to sign in and out of the Help Scout app on my iPhone. But that's okay. So I probably will do that because I already got Help Scout all set up with Castos. Because the day I got that email from them was the day I was coming back from SaaSDoc, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and copy all my my help docs over tonight while I'm on the way home, and this is just a disaster. So, but it's really disruptive. I mean, it's really disruptive because you don't have to go change all the links in all of our blog posts that link to support doc articles and stuff like that. It's like a big deal. So I'm taking this really seriously because I don't want to have to do this again.
Yeah. I mean, stuff like that is brutal, but, you know, when companies price you out of a market because they're going, you know, it's clear that that Intercom's going up market, right?
Yeah.
So they're trying to hit larger deals, larger user bases, larger engaged customers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they want to extract better ARPU, better LTV out of that. Makes total sense. But in doing so, you know, it screws the little guy. And I saw this, one of my competitors, I just visited their pricing page. Their minimum pricing now is $250 a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, wow. You know, that was unbelievable. So now I'm sort of like, I wonder if I should like try to target them because I know how to target those customers and send out things and say, hey, look, I'm the affordable alternative if you're not the big guy, because you know moves like that bleed customers and they bleed folks that are a little bit on the lower end. And I'm not talking like the bargain basement customers because nobody really wants the $9 a month folks.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the people that are looking in the $50 to $100 a month range, which is still a pretty solid thing to build a SaaS on.
Sure. Yep.
But yeah, I mean, that happens all the time, and that's an opportunity. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's the short version of what's going on with me. But yeah, so this week we're gonna dig into the last three questions of our six questions that will drive your business forward. Most of these are from Chris Lema and his kind of prodding questions from Cabo Press a couple weeks ago to help the attendees there kind of engage in dialogue and kind of open their minds about their businesses. The first one here, Dave, is your schedule a reflection of your agenda or other people's? In other words, are you proactive or reactive with your time?
I'm embarrassed to answer this one.
I just am cringing at my own feeling towards this question. So I had a tweet. None of my tweets are very popular, but this one got a couple of responses a couple of weeks ago saying that I'm ashamed of myself because I have like almost a little bit of an unfair advantage with my time zones, that I'm like 6 hours right now, 5 hours because the daylight savings changes at a different time, but 5 or 6 hours ahead of the East Coast where most of my customers are. And I rarely get up and do something proactive first thing in the morning. I almost always go into Intercom and answer support tickets when everyone is asleep. And then after I'm exhausted and kind of, you know, mad at the world after answering Intercom questions for an hour in the morning, I try to go write a blog post or create a marketing campaign or something like that. And that's just like the worst possible fucking thing that you could do. And I think that's where I cringe when I read this question, as I think about how bad I am at this. And that is like the perfect example, you know?
Well, you know, I'm sadly right there with you. The freelance client pretty much drives the majority of my day, unfortunately. And that is not something that I'm thrilled about, but it's sort of the state of affairs. And I try to do some time boxing around that. So, you know, there's a short window in the morning that I try to do email support responses, which is right now more recapture than it is plugins, but there's still a little bit of plugins. And then I reserve a little bit, like 15 minutes during lunch and maybe 15 minutes at the end of the day to do plugin support, tier 3 answers to my support person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, aside from that, I feel like I'm mostly just draining myself into the freelance client. And like last night, I had some specific thing where somebody had asked me, hey, you know, can you help with this email campaign? So I set it up, and but I had to do it like after hours, and my wife went shopping with her oldest daughter, and the other two were entertaining themselves around here. So I got some time to do that, but it was still, I felt it was reactive. It wasn't proactive. You know, I was still trying to just catch up on stuff all the time. And I really want to change that, but, you know, with the freelance client, that gets super difficult. Because I can't just say, all right, you know, I mean, there are other constraints on top of that, like the family time, you know, that's a non-negotiable. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's not like, oh, well, I can time box this after dinner. No. I tried that for August and a chunk of September, and my wife was like, okay, are you done with this now? Because
so that was fun.
Yeah, that was not fun, and I need you back in part of this family. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So, totally fair. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a non-negotiable. So it's got to happen during the day, and the freelance client takes priority. So that means everything else becomes very reactive. Sometimes I'm able to say, all right, this blog post has to go out, or this Black Friday email has to go out. And so I, you know, defer some things. Maybe I'll say support gets done later in the day, or it looks light today, so I'll just jump in and get this done. But I'm not nearly as proactive as I should be. So this is definitely a weakness for me as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, I mean, all has to do with prioritization. I think that, you know, if you can do something proactive that will move the business forward in the first hour of your day, everything else about your day is probably going to be better. You know, if you can't, then you're probably just going to be scrambling the rest of the day and supporting your business, you know, just barely kind of getting by and stuff. And that's okay. I mean, it sounds like, Dave, you're at a point right now with Recapture where you need to be reactive to your customers. And we, for the first year of Castos, that's all I did. And that was what the business needed. At this point, I'm a little more, the app is stable. Things from the customers are relatively kind of, the expectations are reasonable. So I should be a little more kind of proactive with things. But in the early days, I think it's totally realistic to be reactive.
I still think I should be more proactive. Like there is definitely more I could be working on. There's definitely more that we should be doing. There's definitely more features we could be adding to move forward on our customer lifetime value stuff. And, you know, I'm not able to put the bandwidth in to do that right now. But also, we're in a time of the year where this would be a great time to move forward on those features so that they could launch after Black Friday, Cyber Monday, holiday craziness is over sometime in January.
Because no one's going to be adopting new technology right now.
Nobody's going to be doing that right now. Like, I've got three people on beta for Winbacks, and I'm getting feedback from one of them. I think the other one got the extension installed and upgraded, but I don't know that they've turned it on yet. I've tried to get them to do it during Black Friday, but, you know, they got 100 fires, and this is just one of them. So which one is going to be the most important? I'm trying to, you know, one of them's really struggling with sales, and she's saying that, you know, she's watched her lifetime value drop over the past few months. And I'm like, I feel your pain. This will help with that. And she's like, I got all these other things to do too. And I'm like, okay, squeaky, I understand. Wheel. But you're telling me this is the thing that you're really struggling with, but you're listening to all the other squeaky wheels. So it's like, you know, I get it, but this is long-term versus short-term thinking, and, you know, there's consequences to that.
They have a prioritization problem, Dave. That's the thing.
Yeah, well, don't we all? Don't we all, right?
All right, so the next question is, how are you segmenting your customers, and what are you doing to change your messaging based on them? Nothing. I think it's kind of fair. I mean, Castos, every customer is relatively the same in terms of like lifetime value, because we have a little bit of feature gating we do, but very few people are on our higher featured tiers. Like 90%+ of our customers are on the same plan. So I guess we differentiate between free plugin users and paying customers of the hosting platform. And the only thing we do there is kind of prioritize support, which I think is reasonable. That's all we do. And I don't feel terrible about that, I guess.
You don't feel terrible about it, you guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what do you do? And I guess what should I be thinking about is, I guess, the real question. What should I be
doing?
Well,
I think it depends very much on how well you understand your audience or how much you feel like you don't understand about your audience. So in my case, I am actually doing something actively for Recapture and passively for Business Directory. Let's talk about Recapture because I think that one's more interesting. So I added Write Message and I had it installed back in August. They have something called Write Ask. So this is like a perfect advertisement for Brennan's service here, but I'm finding that it's very valuable. And when traffic comes to your site, a little pop-up comes up and it asks people questions. So those questions are things like, what platform do you run your store on? So I can say Shopify, Magento, or other.
Mm-hmm.
And that immediately self-segments them into what is the platform I should be focusing on for you in messaging. If they click Magento, then what happens is the rest of the site where I would normally say, hey, we're the abandoned cart solution for Magento or Shopify, it changes that to just the word Magento.
Okay.
So nice. It directly yeah. focuses on them and their needs and their platform. Then I have a secondary question that pops up and says, are you a store owner or are you an agency?
Mm.
Because I have a lot of agencies that come through, or I thought I had a lot of agencies that come through versus regular store owners. And I thought it was like a 50-50 split, but it actually skews very heavily towards store owners, I'm finding.
Okay.
So that's interesting information. I don't have anything that's specifically targeting that yet. I haven't gone and updated the site to change my messaging.
Yep.
But now that I know that, I'm like, the messaging was already kind of tailored toward a store owner anyway. So that kind of means that I was already in the right area, I think.
Okay.
But it's very helpful for me to know that because now I know how many people are coming and visiting. And also, the other category tells me, should I be asking about other platforms? How many other people are coming in here to ask about these things that I do on platforms I don't support yet?
Yep.
And that's interesting as well because that gives me some data about should I be targeting a new platform? How many people are coming from that platform? Are they really interested or are they just tire kickers?
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm. Integration opportunities and all that stuff, yeah.
Exactly. So Write Message has been really helpful on that. And, you know, I'll just further, we should like go ask Brennan to sponsor this podcast. Oh,
his affiliate link is in the show notes for the.
Okay, good. Anyway, so the thing about Write Message that's really cool is that there's multiple things that you can go with it. There's Write Bar, which is kind of like, it sits at the very top and you can ask people for their email address and a specific call to action that shows across the entire site, or you can have it pop up in certain areas. Then there's Write Ask, which I just described. There's another one that I can't remember off the top of my head. He's got like three things that he does, and they changed their pricing recently, so it's actually very accessible. When he first launched back in February, it was much more expensive, and now he's brought a plan in for those that are have lower volume traffic. So okay. It makes more sense for those that are getting started because this information is extremely valuable. Now, let's talk about what I'm doing for Business Directory. The answer is I'm not using Write Message there. I probably should be using Write Message there, but I'm not. And I know that I have a split between site owners, the ones that are just sort of doing it on their own, and agencies that are building it for somebody else. And I've had questions out there that like kind of split the – you know, which of these two do you do? And I did a survey and I found out that it was like a 60-40 split in terms of people who are doing it on their own and people that are agencies doing it for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried to, and when I was doing regular content marketing, I would actually create some agency specific content and then I would create some site owner specific content. The problem was that I sent it to everybody. So it wasn't really as targeted as it could have been. Did that really have an impact or a negative effect? I don't know. I don't feel like it did. Like a lot of the site owner content is still relevant to agencies because they can still, use some of that information like to talk about to their own clients or whatever.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. So in that case, it didn't seem to be as bad. But with recapture, it's much more important because Shopify owners don't want to hear about Magento, and Magento owners don't care about Shopify.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that I send the right content to the right people. Like I had an article that I created, 30 apps that you want to run your store in 2018, and they were Shopify apps. So sending that to Magento owners was a complete waste of my time. And this is before I had Write Message fully baked and installed. Now, when I update that for 2019, I'm going to send it out to just the Shopify folks because that's that's what makes sense, right?
Yeah. No, I love it, man. I'm on writemessage.com right now. Actually, I think this is applicable for Castos to show WordPress specific content to people that we know are coming from WordPress. I'm sure you can do that, right? Like if you know they're coming from a place, you can submit by referring domain or URL. And the Enrich $29 a month. Yeah, that would be pretty powerful. And similarly for SalesCamp, we listed in the Stripe Works With directory now. So people that come from Stripe, we should be showing different stuff to them. So yeah, that's pretty interesting. I'll have to.
And you don't. I mean, I want to be clear here. You don't have to use Write Message to do this. Brennan did this on his own for a long time on his site. He hand rolled everything.
Yeah.
And for double your freelancing rate. And it was impressive stuff, which was the whole genesis of Write Message in the first place, because it was a fair amount of work to do the detailed level that he wanted to do.
Yeah.
But you can do simple things like you can send out a survey to your email list and say, are you X or Y?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then just from that answer alone, you could turn around, take those answers and tag those people back in, Drip or ConvertKit or whatever with the tags that they answer with and use that to target them in the future.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be like super complicated $69 a month kind of solution to do this. You can definitely find your own way to do it. But it's important to target that message because, the days of the ham-fisted I'm sending this to, dear sir or madam, that doesn't
apply anymore. Right. Yeah. Nice, man. I'm definitely going to check out Write Message, but I think, whether it's different URLs, even from a place like WordPress or Stripe to go to a particular landing page or a version of your homepage, I think is kind of a no brainer and even stuff that I can do. So I think, it's a really good question from Chris and Dave. Kudos for doing really good with that. That's cool. That's good to hear. I'm definitely going to check that out over the weekend here.
Yeah, I'm sure I could do better at this point. I mean, I have definitely not gone hog wild with Write Message as some people have, and there's definitely more. There's always more to be done for personalization. So
yeah, for sure. Our last question is. Is one that actually one of our Podcast Motor customers posed to me at Podcast Movement this summer. He's a real kind of businessy guy, runs a podcast talking about like selling your business and exit planning and stuff like that. And the question is, what would you do with $100,000 to invest in your business? Or do you know what you would do to invest $100,000 in your business? And he said, and if you don't, you don't really have a business. And so that kind of like hit me right in the gut because, of course, I didn't have any idea what I would do. Or I didn't have any really good answer to what I would do with $100,000 in my business. But it does make you think that like at some point, the whole goal of all of this is like to build a profitable, successful business. And you hope and you will have $100,000 to invest back in your business, not all in one day, but over the course of years, probably you will have that much kind of monthly extra revenue to invest back in your business. And so how do you think about reinvesting in your business or investing in your business? And I think the trap and for me, the big thing is it's easy to say, I would just hire a bunch of developers and make a bunch of cool shit. But that is very likely not the answer.
Unless you have a list. Yeah, I would say unless you have a list from things that like customers are pining for. They've told you, I need you to get this done, and you just don't have the bandwidth to do it. That's the one constraint that I would say on that. If you're just going to build random shit, no, that's the wrong answer. But
yeah.
But if you've got people that are asking for it, that's something you can spend that money, part of that money on, and make an impact on your business.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think you look at some of our friends who have done, you know, kind of fundraising or fund strapping, you know, Justin McGill at LeadFuse and Jordan at CartHook. I think a lot of the money they've spent has been on, and guys, if we're wrong, please let us know and we'll clarify in the next episode. But I think I'll say half or more of the money they spent has been on engineering, because they're both SaaS businesses and technology is really important. But I think they both have a lot that they put into like biz ops. So like how to run the business better, and in marketing. And that just goes to like scalability, you know, the marketing obviously go into increasing eyeballs on your product and stuff like that, and biz ops and how you run your business and product feedback loops and stuff like that on the business actually running decently well and not being a total disaster, like all the time with these fires to put out left and right. I think that's, to me, that's what like having an older successful business will look like, is that everything is predictable and relatively calm, as opposed to you're just getting started. It's the first 100 or first 1,000 customers. You're making everything up for the first time. If you had a bunch of money, you could probably plan things out pretty well, is my kind of guess, I guess.
Well, it's interesting that you brought up those examples here, because I could think of two other examples that are sort of on the opposite ends of the spectrum. So one of them is A.D. Pinar, who does Conversio, formerly Receiptful, also one of the co-founders of WooThemes back in the day.
Okay.
And he got an investment for Conversio when it was still Receiptful early on, and they poured it mostly into accelerating engineering so they could get to minimum viable product and release into the market in a sort of a polished manner, because they were trying to compete with what they thought at the time was the likes of MailChimp. And they were trying to get e-commerce specific stuff out there. This was before Klaviyo had really caught up, and other platforms had done that. So they had leapfrogged in many ways and were trying to get out there with like the dot mailers and the smart mails and the ones that were higher priced, that were like the infusion softs of the e-commerce world.
Mm-hmm.
And so they use that to accelerate and get out there. And I think that's the story, but Adi, if you're listening, or somebody who knows Adi, tell me that that's wrong. But that's what I remember from a conversation that we had a long time ago. And then the other one was Josh from Baremetrics.
Okay.
So they were pretty established. They had already done most of the engineering. They didn't need to like go and accelerate the engineering. They were trying to deal with more of the business side of things and expand out the team, do more marketing stuff, content marketing, you know. I think that's when they got the $250,000 from Stripe. I may have the source of that wrong, but the number sounds right, $250,000. Yeah. And they spent it, you know, he blogged about how they spent it. And it wasn't all or even a majority on engineering. That wasn't one of the things that they were trying to achieve there. They were trying to round out other aspects of the business. So I think it has to do very much with the stage you're at in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly Adi was very early on in Conversio Receiptful, and Josh was much farther along in Baremetrics. So that $100,000 goes to different things.
Yeah.
You know, because yeah. Your priorities are very different depending on where you're at in the business. In my case, if I had $100,000, you know, like you, I was initially tempted to say, oh, well, I just do a bunch of engineering. I still would do some engineering. Like there's a list of things that I know that would really accelerate us in the customer lifetime value department. But there's also a lot of other things that I could see, like having the ability to have a professional copywriter go over all of the site stuff, all of our email messaging, you know, and maybe bring them in and say, well, what about some write message stuff? So, you know, have somebody who could do that consulting, or to redesign the main website and make sure that we've got the right landing pages so that I could turn around and do like a full-on Facebook campaign. Like if I could hire Moitza, I would love to have her go and do a full-fledged Facebook ad campaign because she knows what the hell she's doing with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would make way more sense than me sitting here fumbling around in the dark, watching one of her videos, listening to some of her podcast interviews, and then try to take some content that she's had online and cobble that all together into my own thing. Like, have her drive that so I can get a clear, clean example of how to actually do that, and then maybe find out, is this channel going to work for me or not? Because when you get somebody who knows what the heck they're doing, your chances of success are going to be higher, or the chance of being able to vet that channel is stronger and say, yes, it's going to work. No, it's not. Yeah, I mean, for $100,000, that's a lot of scratch to bring in some professionals to work on stuff like that. And I think those things really move your needle if you want, are trying to test various channels and get to repeatable, sustainable acquisition.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big, that probably for people who have already launched and have some degree of product market fit, that probably should be the answer, is develop or solidify a marketing channel, because that's like the best ROI, right? Is like, if your product already works, people like it, people will pay you for it, just find a way to get a bunch more of them. You know, Facebook ads, a bunch of content, cold email, even though, you know, some people think it doesn't work, whatever, something will work for you. So probably most people, if you've launched it, should spend it on marketing, and probably content.
Yeah. If I could afford content marketing, like, and I know, like, you really have to go all out these days, like 1600 words is table stakes now, you know, with lots of graphics and well-researched things and backlink, like that's nothing. You know, you got to do that and then have somebody go out and do the full-time promotion and then ask for backlinks and try to get guest posts and other things. Like, that's a full-time job. So, you know, $100,000 could get you a full-time content marketing person that's doing stuff,
like
really intense stuff for 3 to 6 months, where you're going to start to see some results on that. So that's definitely a possibility as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think hiring a marketer that could kind of do everything, full stack marketer that could do ads and content and community and social and all that kind of stuff, would be a really good spend probably. And I think that's, you know, that's what you look at, and like Jordan with Cardhook, and I know that the Leadfuse and Justin, they have full-time marketing people, you know, and they're way past, you know, $100,000 they're putting back in their business at this point, because they're, you know, very successful businesses. But I mean, I think that's kind of like a good blueprint, I think, is that, you know, those guys are at the point where they're making this a reality, and they're doing a little bit of both, you know, probably a lot more effort into marketing. So yeah, it's pretty cool. But hopefully, like, an interesting thought exercise for everybody, that, like, if you're being intentional and working towards the future, this hopefully will be a reality for you down the road. And so, you know, maybe start thinking about, like, if you want to get there, you got to start kind of walking in that direction. So, you know, with an eye towards being able to reinvest like $100,000 back in your business, or a couple $1,000s a month or whatever, you know, kind of working towards that yourself with the prioritization that you have first thing in the morning and doing the most important thing, you know, like do the marketing first or build the feature first or whatever, and then worry about everything else kind of as you can, I guess. That was my attempt to bring things full circle, Dave. What do you think?
I think it was weak, but we'll take it. So.
Okay. It's 10 after 5 on Friday, so like I'm kind of twitching here, that like it's beer 10 over here.
Oh yeah. We'll call it good for this week. So if despite this episode, you still like us, please go and visit iTunes and give us a review over there. We'd love to hear what you think. And if this has been valuable to you and you've liked the past couple episodes, we really would encourage you to share it with another entrepreneur, either budding or established, that might really benefit from this information as well. Hope you all have a great week. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.